My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. If he isn't yours, he wants to be. If he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he came to be. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what the book of Luke 19:10 tells us. And it is actually the words of Jesus himself. Thanks for joining me and Debbie here today in this little radio program. We trust that our time together will be a blessing to you. Pray that God will be glorified. Pray that he would be honored, that you'd be edified, and if somebody's lost and undone, they would come to realize they need Jesus as their Savior. I've opened my Bible to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. Look, the message that I've got, look, it ought to get close to all of us. I'll just be honest with you. It's close to me. It's stirring my heart, and I pray that I present this in the right way, the right spirit, the right words, and all of that. But I'll tell you, friend, listen, I believe there are some problems in the church of Christ today. And I'm not talking about that group of people that refer to themselves as that. I'm talking about the complete body of Christ, that blood-washed, redeemed, spirit-filled, whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, Church of Jesus Christ. Friend, I'll tell you, I believe it's a serious problem. And I'm going to do my best to share with you what God is stirring my heart with. And as soon as Debbie does her song, I'm going to be back with the message. You enjoy, won't you? She's got a song entitled Saved by His Grace. And by the way, that's the only way we can be. Again, I'll meet you back with the 1 Peter chapter 1 in just a moment or two.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I'd believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace with Him. Come short of His glory, by His blood we're redeemed. I realize
God for that, friend. Can I ask you a question? Have you been saved by grace? Listen, it's the only way that you can be saved. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God, Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The only way you can be saved is by grace. By grace through faith, putting your trust in the finished work that Christ accomplished at Calvary. Listen, if you do that, Jesus Christ, in light of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, God the Father will save any man, woman, boy or girl that will come to Him. Well, I'm going to talk about a serious subject today. Now, people don't like to hear about it. They never have, and I'm persuaded we hear less about it in these last days than we have in many days, and I'll be honest with you, I'll chastise myself. I don't preach on it like I should, but I'm going to today. By the grace of God, I pray that I stir up things. I really do. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to what he said in verse 16. He said, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Here's what I'm going to talk to you about today. It's a command, not a suggestion. It's a command, not a suggestion. Do you know what the Word of God tells us right here? That you and I that are saved. Let me ask you, everybody listening today, say amen. Look, are you saved? If you are, say amen. If your sins are under the blood, your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, say amen. I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. Well, let me ask you a question then. Are you holy? Are you holy? And I know there's a holiness movement, and I know people, you know, they talk about holiness, and they try to describe it as the length of their hair, or whether they wear certain things or not, or the length of their sleeves on their shirts and all this. Listen, that may depict holiness, okay? I'll give you opportunity to do what you choose to do, but let me tell you what, that doesn't produce holiness, sir, ma'am. I'm sorry to tell you that. It doesn't produce holiness, but there's a problem, I'm afraid, in our world today. Jesus knew that it would be there, and I'm talking about our church world. Look, there's a problem with sin in the world. I mean, there's a lot of it going on, but people don't say much about it. You know that? There's not much in the pulpit preached against it. I mean, to tell you, not too many people are taking a stand as we ought to, but I'm going to do my best today. In fact, listen, I was thinking about Paul when he was on Mars Hill in chapter 17 of the book of Acts. When he was there waiting on some of his comrades to come to him, he'd been run out of a town, and he was there at Athens waiting on some of his closest brothers in Christ to meet with him, to join him, and to go along with him in the work of the ministry that God had called him to. And while he was there, he was walking around. He was looking at what was going on in the streets of Athens and in the marketplaces and everywhere else. And when he began to look at the idolatry and how deep it was, how far spread it was, how gross it was, you know what the Word of God said? That he was stirred in his spirit. I'm here to tell you today, friend, listen, when we begin to look around and see what's going on around us and in the name of Christ, in the church, hey, do you know what I think? I think we ought to get stirred up too. You see what he mean about the church? Well, let me go back to an old passage of Scripture out of the Old Testament, chapter 23, actually the book of Leviticus, and I don't know, I can't remember the verses, but I'll turn real quick and try to find you, but there you'll find one of the seven feasts that God has given the children of Israel to celebrate, and it is in verse 15 and following, the feast of Pentecost. Do you know what that feast represented? It represented in those two loaves with the leaven that was baking in it. It represented some new thing. It represented the church, bless God, made up of Jews and Gentiles. One body. There was no longer some loosely tied together grains of seed, of barley, or of wheat, but it was two loaves that had been merged together in some wheat that had been beaten down in a pestle and mixed with leaven and put in loaves and placed in an oven and bacon there. Do you know what that leaven spoke of? Leaven was never to be offered on the altar. There was only one other place where leaven was to be associated with any kind of offering made by God or made before God and for God. And that was in the peace offering, if I remember correctly. But here, you know what God was saying? God was saying, now listen, on the day of Pentecost, when the feast was fulfilled, when it was fully come, Acts chapter 2, when the door of salvation by the gospel of grace was preached, first to the Jew in chapter 2 of Acts, and then in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, when it was opened to the Gentile. God knew before He established this new body, before He established this new entity, that He would call the church, the called out assembly. He knew that they would have a perfect salvation while they would still be imperfect people. Hey, listen, friend. He knew that in the church that His Son purchased with the blood, that the Spirit inaugurated on the book of Acts and empowered and began to indwell. He knew that those people that would make up His body, the body of His Son, the church again that was purchased with the blood of God, according to the book of Acts 20:28. Hey, listen, He knew that there would be imperfect people in it. There would be people that were saved, have a perfect salvation, but would be imperfect. And you know what, friend? Listen, that's why He tells us to be ye holy, for I am holy. That's why He tells us, as Peter tells us on over in his book, that we're not to use our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. That's why Paul tells us in the book of Romans chapter 6, he said, since grace abounds, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. Hey, folks, let me tell you what we are. We may be in the world as a church, and that's what Jesus said in His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, when He prayed for me and you, sir, me and you, ma'am, us that are redeemed, us that are saved, us that are sealed by the Spirit of God, us who have our names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know what, friend? Listen, He knew us, did He not? But that's why He said this to Paul. He said, or in his prayer to the Father, He said, Father, they're in the world. How about you go on down a few verses from 11 to 14, I believe it is. And He said that they are not of the world. Hey, listen, friend, listen. If you claim to name the name of Christ, if you claim to be saved and on your way to heaven, if you claim to have your name, bless God, written above, if you claim to be filled with the Spirit, hey, let me ask you something. How serious is the sin subject in your life? I mean, do you sin flippantly? I mean, do you take sin seriously? I mean, to tell you, friend, listen, we're to be dead unto sin, the Word of God says. Ah, listen, friend, we're living in a strange day, are we not? When sin is no longer sin. Isn't that amazing? We're living in a day when perversion is promoted just like it's the best thing man can do. I mean, to tell you, people talk about their liberties. People talk about being free. People talk about the grace of God. Hey, listen, friend, I believe in the grace of God. I'm a grace preacher. But can I tell you what grace is not? Grace does not, let me say it again, grace does not give us liberty or a license to sin. Grace, when you begin to thrash it out, bless God, gives us the liberty to serve God Almighty in a way that's pleasing to Him and satisfying to me and you. But all the Word of God tells us that we're to come out from among the world, be a separate people, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Oh, listen, friend, I don't know how things have got turned upside down like they have, but boy, they have. If you look right there in the passage that I read from, just a couple of verses above that, in verse 14, the Bible tells us, Peter does, God threw this man, writing to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. He said, now listen, you're to be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. It seems like to me today the church is trying to be so worldly that it's lost its separation ability. I mean to tell you, they want to cater to the church. They want to make the church welcoming. They want to make the church comfortable to people that are lost and on their way to hell. Can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? God does not want us to make the world a better place to go to hell from. But He wants us to be fishers of men. He wants us, bless God, to tell men and women that they can be delivered from that trash, from sin, from its power, one of these days, from its presence, and while we're still here, its penalty. Oh, listen, friend, we're living in a day when they call evil good and good evil, when they put light for darkness and darkness for light, when they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, sin is still sin. It's always been what God said it has been. It's a transgression. It's breaching the boundaries of God. It's disobeying the Word of God, going against the will of God. It's putting yourself above God Almighty. It's making yourself God and not God. And listen to what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells us, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your thoughts, ye double-minded. Hey, friend, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid there's a problem with sin in the church. Now back over there to Leviticus chapter 23. In that feast that is referred to as the Feast of Pentecost, do you know what? That leaven wasn't hidden. It was put in those loaves. It was put in those loaves. And if you read on, you'll see that there are 13 things to be offered in connection to that feast. Part of that that is to be offered, I think, if I'm not looking right now, is 7 lambs. Hey, listen to me. Listen to the truths of the Word of God. 7 is the number of perfection. And when Jesus died at Calvary, thank God He offered a perfect sacrifice for me and for you, for my sins and your sins, and in fact, the sins of all the world. And hey, listen, though He offered a sacrifice to where we could be set free from our sin, where we could be forgiven for our sin, He didn't offer that perfect sacrifice for us to live in sin. Now look, I'm going to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if I remember right, and I want to read a couple of things. I'm going to Romans chapter 6 and 7, how the Lord will, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people acting like they don't know. And that's what Paul starts verse 9 with, right here in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor idolaters, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Boy, that's pretty plain, is it not? I mean to tell you, that's not an exhaustive list. That's not a complete catalog of people who will be lost and doomed forever. But I'll tell you what, it's a good representative. It takes in most everybody and everything. And watch the next verse and verse 11. Listen, if you're saved, say amen. If you name the name of Jesus, say amen. If you profess faith in Christ and relationship to the Son of God, say amen. Well, look at this. And He said, "And such were some of you." Listen, sir, ma'am, listen. You may have been an idolater. You may have been an adulterer. You may have been a fornicator. You may have been effeminate. You may have been an abuser of yourself with mankind. You may have been a thief. You may have been covetous. You may have been a drunkard or a reviler or an extortioner. But listen, if you've been saved, you're not one of those. Look, you may have been an alcoholic. But bless God, you're not still an alcoholic. Listen, I know the Alcoholics Anonymous do good work, but I'll tell you what, they don't do enough. They can't go far enough. And hey, if you're saved, you may have been a drunkard. You may have been effeminate. You may have been an abuser of yourself with mankind. You may have been a prostitute, a fornicator. Oh, you may have been all of those things. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You say, how can that be? Paul goes on in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 6, and says, and such were some of you, but watch the next word, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Hey, if you've been saved, sir, ma'am, there's been a change in you. And if there has been no change, there has been no change in you. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's what Paul asked of the church of Rome. They were totally confused about grace. Grace is great. Grace is where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Listen, let me tell you something. Where sin comes along, where you fall into sin, and you can fall into sin, but if you're saved, you're not to make sin a practice. You're not to continue in it. You're not to continually commit sin. And listen, I'm going to tell you, if the Spirit of God is in you, you will not. You may sin on occasion. That's what John said. In light of the fact that any man sin, in chapter 2, verse 1 of the first letter that he wrote, if any man sin or sins, or in light of the fact that any man sin, they have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hebrews 7:25 says that we have a high priest who continually makes intercession for us. But let me make it plain. If you practice sin, there's no guilt in your heart. There's no chastisement in your life. Then, buddy, you better check up on your profession of salvation. Paul said, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul says, God forbid. He said, perish from the thought, if you will. He said in verse 9 that we, in verse 14. We're not to let sin have dominion over us. He said in verse 12, he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Listen, friend. In verse 19, we are not to yield to sin. Hey, we're to yield ourselves and our members as servants of righteousness unto holiness. Hey, listen, the Word of God tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, listen to what He said. He said this, boy, I like this. He said, wherefore, come ye out from among them, and be as separated people, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out of what, preacher? Come out of being unequally yoked with unbelievers, having no fellowship with them, having no fellowship with unrighteousness, having no fellowship with darkness, having no concord with Belial, having, listen, friend, had no relationship with an infidel. Now look, we've got to work with people that are lost. We've got to be pleasant with people in our family that are lost. But here's the deal. Paul was saying, we're not to partake with them. We're to stand against it. We are to be a separated people. We're in the world again, but we're not of the world. And look at what he goes on in verse 1 of chapter 7 had to tell us. Well, let me read 17 down. Wherefore come ye out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, listen to what Paul says. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hey, listen, friend, just because we don't do a deed, just because we don't sin a sin, I'm talking about in the flesh, carry it through. How's our heart? How's our mind? We're not only to cleanse ourselves from those things that show up in the flesh, but what about the spirit, the attitude, the thought life, the desire life? Hey, friend, I'll tell you what. Listen to what James tells us again, and I want to share it with you. Oh, look at what he tells us. Look at what he tells us in chapter 4. Now look, He said, from whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not from your lust that war in your memories? He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Where whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. He said, look, submit yourself. And this is how to defeat that, how to get over that. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself therefore in the sight of God and he'll lift you up. Hey, listen, brother, sister, you that are saved, claim Christ as your Savior. Do you need to pray that prayer? Do you need to cleanse your heart, your hands? Do you need to purify your heart? Go to Him right now. Tell God what's wrong. Tell Him what you need. Tell Him what you desire and ask Him to help you to be that overcomer that John said we are to be, those of us who live by faith. And guess what? God will hear you. God will answer your prayer. Go to Him. Repent of your sin. Call it out. Tell Him you've got a problem. Tell Him you don't want to do it anymore. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.